Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Holy smokes. It's the 5 p.m. This is a church where things happen. Things go down in this service. Come on. You guys ready? All right. I think you're going to be on your feet a little bit more tonight. I just have one of those feelings like something's about to happen in this place. But you can go ahead and grab a seat real quick. I want you to know I brought my bag with me. Inside this bag are some things that will blow your mind. Blow your mind. Let's start with my notes, which I don't even plan to use. Got my Bible in here, which I plan to use. Tell you something, you don't want my words. You want this word, all right? In fact, I'm believing that I'm going to be able to share the things God's put on my heart from this word. Come on now. Everything else you're just going to have to wait for. Hey, I want to real quick honor the most remarkable pastors on the planet. Can you give it up for Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, who didn't leave Australia to give San Diego what they already had, who wanted to bring a dose of church that none of us have any point of reference for. And we're in that tonight. Okay, I don't know about you, but before I came here, I didn't have a point of reference that church could be this fun, this cool, this powerful. Come on now. Want to give it up for Pastor John and Becky, our campus pastors. May have been them watching from Australia, knowing them. They just can't get enough of this place. And incredible leaders, our favorite people, and we just love them. Got my stunning wife here with me. Stand up, beautiful. Stand up, please. Stand up. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yep. We teach here that we marry up in this church. And so, you know, Pastor Jurgen says that he's always stunned that beautiful women end up sometimes dating or marrying guys that just don't seem to measure up, you know. So you want to ask how I got her. Well, I just was waiting for her to get into an insecure moment, and I snuck right in. hey, you know, I saw an opportunity. I love the culture of our church. You know what I mean? I love the culture of this church. I believe this is a church worth growing. You know, we currently have like 7,000 people attending C3 San Diego in less than 13 years. Come on. You know you're a part of a move of God. You're a part of something special, something unique, something remarkable. I think it's worth growing churches like this. You know, I'll teach you a little bit about vision gap. Vision gap is what if. It says, hey, if we stopped right now and just kept doing the things we were doing, didn't grow anymore, we would be making a remarkable difference in our city. But what if? What if somebody in this room got a little bit crazy and decided to accelerate all the good things that are happening in this church? That's called vision gap. That means where we already are is quite remarkable. Oh, but what if we went all the way to 16 campuses? What if we had $250 million in property so that we could reach this city for Jesus Christ? Oh, come on. What if? What if? Would you like to play a role in God's what if? Oh, I don't think you're here to spectate. Anybody want to get in the game? Oh, we're going to have some fun tonight. Kenny Robbins. What the heck? You got to podcast his message from today. He's like our son, so we're particularly proud of you, Kenny. But I want to say something about you. You were remarkable. Your message today was out of this world. One of the best messages preached from this pulpit. But I want to say your life is even more impressive to us. And we could not be more proud of you. Could not be more proud. Fullers, what the heck? Quality. The most remarkable people. Charles, one of my dearest friends, preached a great message on who you hang with. Who you associate with. There's power in who you associate with. I'm so glad I'm associated with you. My gosh, you make my life bigger and better. Come on, you hang around four chumps, you'll be the fifth. Oh, you hang around four legends. You might show up like Charles Fuller one day. Oh, yeah. Man, oh, man, you guys made a good decision getting into church. We got to get into the Word. I'm a little bit stirred up tonight, if you can't tell. I apologize in advance. I'm moderately passionate. Moderately, okay? I'm going to try to keep it right at the moderate level, see how I do. We're in the Accelerate series. Aren't you glad you're a part of a church that's accelerating? You know, not decelerating, not coasting, but accelerating. It takes power to accelerate. Let me ask you a question. If you could be any car you wanted to be, I mean any car, what kind of car would you be? Let me ask you this. Would you have any horsepower in the engine? Would you, when you stepped on the gas, would you be like barely creeping into the merge lane? Just nervous that you're not even going to be able to get up to the speed of the cars around you on the freeway. Or would you have a little room in the engine, huh? I'm grateful for a church that's got a little room in the engine. My gosh, it's acceleration. I can't imagine the Christian life without acceleration, without power. Come on. You know, what I want to share on my heart, the message God's given me is to accelerate vision. Accelerate vision. And the vision that I believe God's called us to accelerate is the vision of our pastors. The vision of C3 San Diego. Now, in case you didn't know, my wife and I, we're kind of the marketplace pastors, the business pastors, the financial pastors. I promise you this, didn't come here on a Sunday night to preach out of the book of Leviticus. If we're the marketplace finance pastors, would you like to hear a little something about business and finances? What I want to talk about is, if we're going to accelerate vision and get to 16 campuses and 250 million in properties, it's going to take some financial blessing. It's actually going to need some financial acceleration. Can you imagine your finances accelerated? Oh, let's just say it wasn't even just the church. Let's just say there was like four near and dear friends to you that could directly benefit if your finances were accelerated. I'm not saying you're going to spend it all on yourself. I'm saying you're going to utilize resources to get behind things that matter. We're going to have some fun tonight. I promise. Let's go. First of all, if we are going to accelerate vision, we got to get into God's Word and understand a little bit about money. Let me say a couple things. I came out of a little bit of a different church than this. It was a good church, but it was quite different. They didn't really like talking about money. Certainly didn't teach or empower people to have money. It was kind of more fear of money, and money's bad. Anybody come out of that kind of culture. I want you to know that's kind of where I came from, and I'm kind of an obnoxious choice to be teaching on money, okay? Because I used to kind of wave the banner of poverty, that I thought it like pleased God to have nothing. And the less stuff I had, the more he was pleased, okay? And so I want to teach, you know, believe it or not, 15% of the Bible teaches on money, okay? That's more than any other single topic, including heaven, hell, faith, or prayer. The Bible contains 2,350 verses on money. Don't you think it would be a good idea to get God's idea around money? Not my idea, God's idea. He's got a lot to say. I'm going to start by sharing 5 verses around money, okay? 2 of them are remarkable promises. 2 of them are warnings. Oh, yes, wealth creation has a warning label next to it. If you're not ready for wealth, don't touch it. But we're believing to get some people ready to steward resources for the kingdom of God. And then I'm going to share one verse that's a tried and true promise, that if you could just stay to that scripture, there's no limit to how much you can steward. Are you ready? You ready for the Word of God? The Word of God will change your life. Let's go. Let's start with Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power. What? Power. Pastor Juergen teaches that there's 3 things, 3 components to financial growth in the kingdom of God. Number 1, you need permission. Number 2, you need principles. The Bible's so full of principles. But number 3, you need power. He's giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Number 2, let's read the second promise before we get into the warnings. Let's talk about what God's intention is for us. This is out of Proverbs 8, 17 through 21. This is my favorite proverb, okay? I love Proverbs, but this is my favorite one. It says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me, they will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit's better than gold, even pure gold. My yield is better than choicest silver. Get this, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. You have a good God, I just want you to know. It would be foolish for me to teach on wealth and not give you the warning label, though. All right? Okay? So let's start. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Have you ever seen money take somebody out that you know? Chuck Colson, one of the greatest teachers and evangelists in modern history, has said that for every 50 people that can handle adversity, only 1 can handle prosperity. Oh, prosperity is a cross. It's difficult. It's not for the foolish or the careless. That's not us, though. Come on, wouldn't you like to be trusted with much? Well, but let's get one more warning label. One more warning label. No one can serve 2 masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. fact, money's a horrible master. Remarkable servant. Can do a lot of good for you and for others as long as it's not mastering us. Finally, let me end with a promise that will keep us on the straight and narrow. Imagine if we were a church big enough, healthy enough, mature enough to handle wealth. How much good could we get done? We already know that God's trying to endow it to those of us. He wants to empower us to make it, but he just needs some things about us to keep it from defiling and harming us. I happen to believe we're that people. I happen to believe that. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Get this, it does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Get this, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. You ready to talk about wealth? Are you sure? Wealth's not for children. It's big boy business. It's big girl stuff. Where's my man Jake? Jake, it's big boy business. It's not for little boys. Wealth requires maturity. We're going to get into that. Are you ready for my first point? All right. Number one. Impaired vision equals acceleration, frustration. The wrong view of God will frustrate his acceleration of our lives. The wrong view of God will frustrate his acceleration of our lives. Have to understand some things about God. Number one, he's good. He's a good father. He's a good daddy. He wants good for you. I just took my daughter on a date yesterday. She's 8. There was not one part of my day where I thought, wow, this might be a good opportunity to teach Bethany a lesson. You know, I'd like to teach her patience today. You know, maybe I'll teach her how to deal with disappointment, because that's going to come one day. As a father, as a good dad, there wasn't one part of my date where I was thinking about, this might be a good time for her to learn disappointment. All I could think about is how much I love her, how much I want to show her that her daddy cares about her. You know what I mean? Our father's good. He's good. He's got good plans for you. I can't think of one day where I wasn't dreaming up good things towards our kids. I just can't think. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how we got this jacked up theology about God, that he's mean or he needs you to pedal harder or he's disappointed all the time. Let me tell you, he's good. And he's in a good mood. He's not grumpy. He doesn't have his arms crossed. He's happy. He smiles. Gosh. Gotta have a good view of God. Come on, if you want your life to accelerate, you gotta have the right view of God. You know what else you need to have a good view of? Yourself. Gotta have a good view of you. I love that song that we sang about, I'm a child of the King. Oh my gosh, I was like breaking down a little bit, trying to get ready to preach, and like couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the reality that we're just so loved and we're so called. And to see, the key to having the right view of yourself is get into agreement with what God says about you. He created you in his image. We're supposed to relate to the second Adam. That's Jesus. The first Adam fell, jacked his life up. Don't relate to him anymore. That's your old nature. You have a new nature. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus so that you can come in to his likeness. But if we are going to be people that have an accelerated life, we actually have to believe that our life is intended to be accelerated. Final thing that we need to have a remarkable view of is money. It's our responsibility, if we're going to build 16 campuses and accelerate this vision the way God needs to get it done, that we start to get a grasp on money. And I'll tell you, not everybody in here is called to create wealth, okay? But there are some of us that are. I can't imagine being the business pastor and not called to create wealth. So if that's not for you, no problem. Oh, but if it is for you, it's time to learn a little bit about the permission, the principles, and the power of God to create wealth. Amen? All right. Let me tell you something about your view of yourself. God has a hard time accelerating an identity crisis. Our son Jacob, just graduating from infantry in the Marine Corps, hoorah! Thank you, Charles Fuller, for mentoring him and coaching him. He's a great poker player because before he went into the military, he wanted to be an actuary. You know what those people are? They study the laws of probability. In fact, we were going around at Christmas one time, and we were asking about superpowers. And I figured, you know, people want to fly or, you know, throw things and be strong, maybe be invisible. Do you know what Jacob wanted to be? He wanted to manipulate the laws of probability. I'm like, what? I can't even wrap my head around that. And of course, he's a remarkable poker player, you know, because probability, the probability of hands, and he's like taught us how to play poker. But I've found in the hand of life, no matter how good your hand is, if you have a victim card in it, you lose. I'm going to tell you something. If you have a victim identity, God cannot accelerate you. You will continually hit wall after wall, frustration after frustration. Tonight, you have an opportunity to exchange your victim card for a victor card, for a winning card, for I'm a child of God card. Come on. You got like four aces and you're folding. That's what victim card will do to you. It's crazy. Oh, come on, God sets you up. He's a good father. Never will call you to anything that he intends you to fail at. Oh my God, never! It is a good word, Quadra. It's a good word. I love you. You're such a great woman of God and such an asset in this house. You and your mighty husband. You two. Pillars. Pillars in this church. Number two, are you ready for this? Come on now. Integrity equals acceleration unlimited. Yeah, high speeds and high altitudes demand high integrity. Let's talk about acceleration. Let's just talk about something that moves fast and high. Let's just say you and three of your nearest and dearest friends were about to board an airplane. Because most of us, when we interpret integrity, we think of words like honesty, character, who you are when no one but God is watching, you know, trustworthy. And I'm cool with that. But I want to redefine integrity, okay? And I want us to look at integrity through the lens of, imagine you're boarding a plane that's going to fly high and far. Would you like it for that plane to have integrity? What if that plane was going to encounter some turbulence? Do you want that plane to be well put together? Our family loves kids' movies. That's like our favorite movies. I wanted to give you a little glimpse into one of my all-time favorite movies. Check out about 50 seconds of this.
We'll go out for pineapple, my little bubbly-headed bubbly-boo.
Skipper, look.
Analysis.
It looks like a small incandescent bulb designed to indicate something out of the ordinary, like a malfunction.
I find it pretty and somewhat hypnotic.
That too, sir.
Right. Rico. Manual.
Mm-hmm.
Problemo solved.
Sir, we may be out of fuel.
What makes you think that?
We've lost engine one. And engine two is no longer on fire.
Buckle up, boys.
Don't look, doll. This might get hairy. Attention! This is your captain speaking.
I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we'll be landing immediately. The bad news is we're crash landing.
Come on now. Integrity. Those of us who want to dabble into the wealth world can't be poorly built. God does not put jet fuel in jalopies. He puts them in jets that are well built, ready to fly. Come on now. Don't think of integrity as a boring word. Think of it as a faith word that gets you prepared for acceleration. Because as a leader, you know, our church, if we could really break it down and talk about culture real quick, there's four things our church loves. Number one, we love souls. We love people coming to know the goodness of God. We love salvation. We love it. We love it. I think over Easter, I don't know how many people we had and saw come to know God, come to know Jesus for the first time. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 to 500 through our twisted events. I mean, we're all about people encountering God. Come on now. We love volunteers. We believe that you should freely serve in the house of the Lord. We love leaders. Leaders, leaders, leaders. This is a church that builds leaders. But let me tell you something about the cost of a leader. People are going to board your life. Are you going to get them to their destination? You going to get them there safely, on time, securely? We don't take leadership lightly. But we do believe if you're in this church, you're called to be a leader. And God can take your scraps. He can take things that don't look that impressive. And he can start to form and fashion you into somebody that's capable not only of acceleration, but of people trusting you with your life. Most of my life, I lived apart from confidence. We've been here for 7 years in this church. We've owned our own businesses for almost 13 years. It's crazy what God has done. We've been married. This is our 14th year in marriage. Now, let me get this. Wait. Here's what's crazy. Before we were married, we were divorced. We were broken. We came out of brokenness. And God said, let me reassemble your life. Yeah, I know it's scraps. I know there's not a whole lot to work with. And there wasn't. There wasn't. But he said, give me what you got, and I'll assemble something. I'll assemble something that can handle height, people, acceleration. You know what? You know what? You know what? Get this. Pastor Juergen said something the other day. I love our pastor, man. Probably the greatest preacher I've ever heard. But even more than that, the greatest leader that I know personally. He said, Well, he said a couple things. He was talking about Phil Pringle. You know Phil Pringle is the Dr. Phil and Chris. Actually, where our pastors are right now is at Presence Conference, which is amazing. I hope you all get an opportunity. We went, I think, 5 or 6 years ago for the first time. It was something else. And Pastor Juergen was watching people in high levels of leadership kind of stumble. This has to do with integrity. And he was asking Dr. Phil, and he said, well, how do I live a life where the people that are trusting in me aren't disappointed? Come on, as leaders, don't we owe the world a safe ride, secure ride? People are boarding your life. Don't you want to get them there on time, safely, securely, build their trust? He said three things. Phil Pringle told him three things. He said, Juergen, number one, sleep with your own wife. He said, number two, spend your own money. And he said, number three, build buildings. Because if you're always stretching and trusting God, you'll find that you need him and your need for him will keep you integrous. And he referenced like King David. Everybody know King David? Wait a minute, a man after God's heart and yet made like the stupidest decision ever. But how did that happen? He didn't just have a day where he just wasn't excited about God anymore. Here's what happened. It says, in the spring, the time where kings go to war, David stayed back. In other words, he quit building. He quit extending. He quit trusting God. He quit going big. He said, four campuses is enough. I'm not going to go after the fifth or the sixth. He got comfortable in his own success. Come on now, you want to keep integrity. You got to keep stretching, keep trusting, keep going big. Come on, baby. Going big is actually safer than staying small because you can stay small in your own power. You can stay small in your own strength. Survival mode, come on. This isn't about survival. It's about kingdom advancing. Come on, integrity, integrity, integrity. Come on, let's build lives that can handle high altitudes, high acceleration. Come on, expensive cargo. Oh, what if they could put the most expensive cargo inside of you? Valuable people. Come on, let's build lives that can handle weights. We're not going to crumble under pressure. We can handle it. Are you ready for my final point? Finally, finally, finally. Holy smokes. Obsession equals acceleration realization. Obsession. You want to know what's in my black bag? Yeah, my precious isn't. I want to talk about obsession real quick, okay? Real quick, real quick. First and foremost, my daughter's 8. One of her obsessions is in here. It's a Beanie Boo, Morgan. She has almost as many of these as you have shoes. How many shoes do you have now? 300? Maybe, give or take. Morgan has an obsession with shoes. My daughter has an obsession with Beanie Boos. My son here, Josiah, jump up, Josiah, please. Yeah. No, stay there. Stay. You know what? Anyway, jump up. This guy, come on. Yep. He's a legend. Hey, this guy's president of the fifth grade class, Willow Grove. Oh, yeah. He'll be signing autographs later. He's a legend. But right now, he's got an obsession with a game called Fortnite. Hey, if I throw a boogie bomb, will you dance? Boom. Get out of here. Come on now. No, hey. There's nothing wrong with obsessions. We as parents leverage obsessions. Oh, you want to play Fortnite? You can play as much as you like, as long as for every minute of Fortnite you practice soccer or read. So we get a whole lot of soccer practice because of his obsession. Just saying, just trying to leverage obsessions. I got my Liverpool jersey in here. It's a moderate obsession of mine. They are in the Champions League final on Tuesday on Fox. I'm just a shameless plug. Yeah, probably 10 times the amount of people that watch the Super Bowl will be watching that game, just in case you wanted to know about a game that has global influence. It's just, hey. Just, you know, a little bit obsessed. Hey, I got to end here. I wanted to end with something that's going on in my world right now. Can I really be obsessed with wealth creation? I mean, isn't that, that's taking it a little far, isn't it? I mean, come on now. We read some scriptures in there about money that are a little concerning. Well, isn't obsession with wealth creation kind of pushing the line a little bit? Come on now. I'm going to tell you something about obsession. There's not one Olympic gold medalist who wasn't obsessed. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not one professional athlete that wasn't obsessed. I feel like the church has like felt guilty for having any obsession that wasn't Jesus. But I'm quite comfortable with my children's obsessions, as long as they're not misplaced. So I want to give you one secret to going after stuff, to going after wealth that unlocks you, that's going to keep you safe and steady. But I want to tell you right now, you have permission. Those of you who are called to accelerate the vision of this house, you have permission to be obsessed with wealth creation. But I got to give you the one thing. The Bible says this, the number one greatest commandment. You know what it is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let me say this, to the degree that you are willing to go into love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor, to the degree, to the ends of the earth that you are willing to go that far, you have permission to go into wealth creation. That far. Let me say, if you feel today, right now in this service, called to create wealth, okay, and I know some people do. I know it. You know why I know? Because God's stirring this. He's actually provoking people to step in to wealth creation. Why? Because we have 16 campuses to build, and we got a lot of work to do. But there's only a few people that are going to be able to steward wealth at that level. You know what the requirement is? Love the Lord your God. Come on now. How big a life do you want to live? This isn't a balanced life where it's like, well, I'm going to just create a little wealth, and I'm going to love God a little bit. Why don't I love God a lot a bit? Why don't I love people a lot a bit? What if God could accelerate wealth creation in me so that I could love God a lot a bit and finance a lot of church and generate a lot of kingdom? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. All right. We're going to pray. You know, I really believe that God's going to move tonight. And there's a couple people I had a couple of thoughts and words for. First is Morgan. Could you just jump up real quick? Morgan, this was Jesus in our play. Yeah. Sometimes when you see people on stage, you think that that's all they got going on. But Morgan, and what I saw over you is I saw three lanes of your life, and I saw God accelerating three of your passions. One is the arts. I just see that you burn inside for the arts and all kinds of arts, from fashion to stage and presentations and productions and music. But I also saw your passion for the kingdom of God was ridiculous, and God's going to accelerate it. But I see this wealth creation capability in you, and I see God accelerating all three of those things. Give it up for Morgan. Jake, jump up, Jake, real quick. Hey, you might hear something as I'm just sharing a couple prophetic words with people. You might hear something that resonates with you. As long as you are willing to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and love people, you can have it. Say, oh, that sounds great, God. He wouldn't stir it in you. Jake, I saw this over you the other day. I saw you with gloves on, and I saw you holding very valuable materials. And it's a symbol of you in your life. You're going to steward much. You're going to steward things that very few people have the privilege to touch. What are you, 21? 21. Called and created to press the limits, Jake, on wealth creation. To go where people have never gone. To dream like dreams that people have never even been willing to dream. And I say, God is going to unlock things in you. He's going to use you. And I see a holy fire coming on you. I see a holy fire just burning you. And I see God beginning to prepare you to handle wealth. Yes. Daniel and Heather, jump up real quick. Come on now. Yeah. I just see explosion coming over you guys. And your heart for the kingdom of God. In this last 6 months, has I feel like it's brought a perfect tension. You guys have so dreamed and longed for ministry, and you guys are such ministry people, but I felt like it was always missing it. And this tension of wealth creation and this tension of marketplace giants is that tension. And I see now as you press into both sides, both ministry and business, you're going to begin to see just supernatural release over your life. And I'm going to tell you, big influence. I say, God, just enlarge their capacity. I'm going to say, people are going to board your life. You guys are safe and secure. And I see like a big plane, not a little plane, big plane, going fast, going far for the kingdom of God. The Kirks, Ryan, Melissa Kirk, I'm going to tell you something. These two are so big. And I say, I see big things over you guys. And I know that God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's both of your desires. It's not just the wealth creation, it's the restoration, it's the care, it's the counseling, it's the coaching, it's both. And I see you guys as catalysts in this church, pillars, ones that teach on wealth, but listen, this isn't the time to teach, this is the time to prove wealth. You don't see, let me say this, a healing evangelist, yeah, he likes to teach on healing, but you know what he really likes to do? He likes to heal people. Wealth creators, it ain't about teaching on wealth. It's about proving. And I see the power of God coming on you, Ryan. I see the power of God releasing you and taking you places you've never gone before. And I say, I see you guys just dreaming big. And I see writing like ridiculous checks to finance the kingdom. It burns in you guys. And I'm going to tell you, you have permission to go big, to go bigger. Love you guys. Come on now. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close this down. Been a good night, huh? Is anybody here? You can close your eyes, bow your head. This part of the night isn't just about creating wealth for the kingdom. This part of the night's about, do you know your Father? Do you know Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, who became poor, who took everything on himself so that we could be his? Real quick, if you're in this room and you don't know the goodness of God, you don't know him as a good father, you don't know him as a provider, you don't know him as somebody who's madly in love with you, who's crazy about you, dreaming about you, thinking about you all the time. If you'd like to know him, if you know you need to know him, maybe your life is more like mine, broken on the other side of massive disappointment, wondering if God could ever do anything with it. I assure you he can. Pastor Jurgen used to say that the secret to God doing a lot with your life is giving him all of your life. Is there anybody here right now, you know you need to give God more of your life? You know you need to give him more. If that's you, could you slip your hand up real quick? You know. Nice and high. I see you. Oh, yeah. God sees you too. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Come on, you know I see both those hands. There's hands everywhere. God, I just release just your permission, your grace, your blessing, your love over all these hands. Just repeat a prayer after me real quick, and then we're going to open the altars up, okay? God's going to move tonight on these altars. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to move tonight on these altars. Repeat after me. Father God, I thank you that you love us so much. You're crazy about us. I change my view of you. I see you tonight as a good God, as a faithful God, as a loving God, God who has good plans for me. I give you more of my life, my heart, my mind, my dreams. I realize in your hand, they're safe. They're secure. They're accelerated. I need your power on my life. Therefore, I give you my life. I accept your love, your kindness. I accept your son, Jesus, into my life, not just as my Savior, but as my Lord, as my general, as my commander, as the one who calls the shots. In Jesus' name, amen. The rest of us, if you know, we're going to have the ministers up here at the front. If you know that you've been called to this level, to wealth creation, called to business, called to make a difference, and you would like to see God's power on your life, not just principles and permission, power. If you're hungry to see God take you where you can't go on your own in the marketplace, as our team comes up, I'd like to invite you forward to get prayed over. Sound good? All right, we're going to close this thing in a song. Can we go back to that one song about being a child of whatever it was, child of God? And listen. It is imperative that you participate in what God wants to do in your world. So get up here and trust that God is going to activate and accelerate and move mightily on your life. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.